welcome to the latest episode of the podcast. And, well, it's Road Safety Week, so I thought it would be rather topical to talk about road safety. And to help me do that, I'm here with Alan Hiscox, who is Director of Safety at the British Horse Society.
Morning, Rachel.
So, Alan, I mean, road safety, it seems to be all over, you know, social media, the news, people, equestrian people anyway, seem to be talking about it a lot. How big a deal is this?
Well, there's no doubt about it that it is challenging to ride on the roads these days. I mean, there were 87 horses that were killed on the roads last year. So when we actually let people know how many incidents there are, and there's been in the past 8 years 3,700, you know, it does get the effect with other MPs or with equestrians or road safety professionals. So yeah, there is challenging to ride on the roads, depending on where you actually ride. So it's not a huge problem, but there are some things that riders can do, and we're trying to educate drivers to make it safer for horses on the roads. But I'm sure we'll talk about exactly what we're doing a little bit later on.
And I suppose as well, it's when you talk about things like deaths, and it's a very emotive topic as well, isn't it? I mean, obviously we've been having stuff on our social media this week, and it's been going, you know, obviously you guys have as well. And it gets a lot of people talking when you start talking about injuries, deaths of horses, things like that. And so I think that's probably one of the reasons it's gone so big. But then again, that helps with awareness as well, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does. You know, when we launched our Dead Slow campaign 3 years ago, we did it on BBC Breakfast. As soon as we gave the statistics, MP stood up in Parliament and said, how can we help the British Horse Society educate drivers? The CEO of the Driving Instructors Association contacted us that morning, and how can we let learner drivers know more about passing horses safely? So yeah, compared with cyclists and pedestrians, the figures are not as high. However, as soon as you have an animal that's injured or, you know, tragically dies because of a road accident, then it does make big news. And you know, the British people are very emotive about their animals. So yes, it has that effect. And I suppose because of that effect that it has, we have definitely got the interest of a lot of MPs. We've got the interest of Road Safety Partnerships, got the interest of the police, and lots of driving organisations that want to help us educate drivers on how to pass horses safely.
So do you think then that lack of education is one of the reasons that we're seeing so many problems?
I think it is, because drivers, in fact I was chatting to somebody yesterday, loves horses, not a horse rider, but said, all I want to do is get past that horse as quickly as possible to get out of the danger area. And of course I explained to her, our Dead Slow messages are not about going past as quickly as possible. They all are, and it is a behavioural change technique. You know, we were saying to drivers, if I see a horse on the road, and there again, if I see a horse, so we're talking about ridden horses, we're talking about carriage drivers, but also feral horses. So if I see a horse on the road, then I will slow down to a maximum of 50 miles an hour. I will not rev the engine or sound the horn. I will be patient. I will pass the horse wide and slow when safe to do so, at least the car's width, and I will drive slowly away. And those four messages are, individually, they're very important, but together they will ensure that drivers have a safe pass and horses are able to carry on their ride without being affected by the vehicle.
Because I suppose it's kind of the sad fact of the matter is we've got fewer off-road riding routes, you know, as time goes on. So riders are having to use the roads to get to these off-road routes or even just to exercise their horse at all. So it is inevitable that horses and cars are going to meet at some point. So, you know, helping drivers understand then must be the key to the solution.
I think that's absolutely right. You know, education is the key. And yeah, the British Horse Society are working to keep our bridleways and safe off-road access and multi-user routes open, and we're trying to get more, you know, with our 2026 campaign. But that's what we're saying to drivers. Horses are not on the roads because they want to be there or the riders want to be there. We're just going from one bridleway or multi-user route to another one or a stable to a bridle. And when we actually give that information to drivers, because we're trying to involve them, so we can tell them things and they'll forget, show them and they'll remember, but involve them and they'll understand. So we're talking about why horses are on the roads. We're talking about their eyesight. We're talking about the three brains that are working. So there's the driver, there's the rider, but don't forget the horse's brain. And we're telling them that they're flight animals and they're either going to remove, reduce or avoid something that they're unsure of, or drivers, by adhering to our four dead slow messages, you can help the horse accept that. So we're trying to involve drivers, not just point the finger at them and say, you know, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. And that, I think that whole attitude and the way that we're working is really getting the support of road safety partnerships and the police and road safety professionals, because they can see that we're not just trying to demonise drivers, far from it. But on the flip side, there's also horse riders that need to take their responsibilities.
I was going to say, it's a two-sided coin, isn't it? So, you know, so what can riders do to make sure they are as safe as possible when they're out riding?
Well, first off, you know, we have our Ride Safe Award from the British Horse Society, which is a recreational award, and that will help riders be much more aware of how to ride horses on the road. But conspicuity, I mean, we call it high vis, but the conspicuity of horses and riders is very, very important. We commissioned a report from the Transport Research Laboratory that actually put scientific evidence as to why you should wear conspicuous clothing. So look at that on our website. You know, thank drivers when they are. Sometimes you may not think you want to thank them, but you know, big teeth and wide eyes and thank you very much, it does have an effect. You know, ensure you plan your route and know where you're going, and make sure that you are always aware. You know, it's no good just walking down or going down the road and chatting to your fellow rider and talking about the price of broccoli at Sainsbury's. You know, you've got to be aware and look around, because as all horse riders know, that and your horse could be in the middle of the road.
So going back to high vis, which is something that is becoming increasingly more prominent, should we say? We see more and more people wearing it. What would you recommend then in terms of what people wear? Because there's every kind of piece of kit out there.
Yeah.
Is there a kind of minimum that you'd recommend people go for?
Most definitely, you know, wear a jacket or a tabard. And then leg bands, because there's the biomotion effect. And a quarter sheet if it's not windy. So yes, there's lots of things you wear. But also, the Transport Research Laboratory report said use LED lights on your shoulders or on the points of the hip of the horse, on your boots, to accentuate the width of the horse as opposed to the height. Because it talks about not only letting drivers detect you or increasing the likelihood, but also about the looming effect when they can judge the distance as to how they can approach you. So that's why you sometimes see motorcycles now have two lights either side of the main headlight, because that's all about that looming effect and the width of the horse as opposed to the height.
And I suppose as well, obviously, we're at that time of year where the nights are drawing in, it's getting darker and gloomier in general, and anything you can do to make yourself more visible is going to be helpful, isn't it?
Yeah, and there are sections in the Highway Code that apply to riders and carriage drivers. You know, we're asking drivers of vehicles to adhere to Section 215 of the Highway Code, then there are certain sections that we're asking riders to as well. Across the UK, you know, there are elements. You know, it's a hard sell in Shetland not to go out in fading light or darkness, but at the same time, you know, that is something. People have got to look at what could happen when they're out there. You know, be aware all the time, expect the unexpected, and do a bit of desensitisation for your horse as well. You know, as an ex-mounted police officer, you know, desensitising horses is very, very key to looking and experiencing things when you're out on the road. So you can do things at home that will increase the way that horses are going to accept certain risks as they see it when they're out on the roads.
And have you got any sort of tips to help people if they're feeling a bit nervous about going out riding on the roads that might sort of boost their confidence a bit?
Be aware of the challenges. But if you're going out, go out with an experienced rider and a good horse that's on the road. And yes, you can ride two abreast. It is in the Highway Code. And the Highway Code does say that the inside horse may be a young or inexperienced horse. So that whole thing when drivers say, oh, you shouldn't be riding two abreast, well, it is in the Highway Code. However, you know, riders need to, if they are two abreast, think about the traffic behind and maybe go into single file. But try and get that confidence. Make sure your horse is responsive to the aids. So if you ask your horse to move over to the right or the left, you know, it is responsive to the aids, because that 6 inches, that foot of moving the horse one way or the other could avoid an incident or a collision. So yeah, be confident, take lessons, take training. And do a bit of desensitization in the yard. It's you know, it's not rocket science. It's just, you know, getting that horse used to maybe a crisp packet fluttering, or you know, a bird flying out the hedge on the way. It's just those things that anybody can do at home, even at a very basic level.
And I suppose as well, it must help to sort of check the roads in advance. You know, make sure that you. Because then at least you can be prepared that, you know, okay, well, a little bit further down this road there might be a blind bend, or I know that the speed limit's going to go up to 60 miles an hour a little bit further down. That must be helpful as well.
Absolutely, and preparation is the key. You know, don't just jump on your horse and ride out. You know, plan your route. Think about the low sun, you know, in winter, because that could be you know, blinding for a driver behind you. And also think about what you're wearing in the way of conspicuous clothing. You know, don't wear yellow when it's the rapeseed season, or think about not wearing orange if it's autumn. So, you know, there's lots of little things that people can do to make it safer for them on the roads.
And the other thing I want to talk to you about as well is cycling seems to be on the up as well at the moment. So that's another potential hazard that you might meet out on the roads with your horse. What's the best practice if you meet a bike?
Well, we've done a lot of work with Cycling UK, and as a result of, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners will know the incident that took place in a triathlon event you know, last year, where cyclists undertook and overtook the horse. We work with Cycling UK, British Triathlon and British Cycling, so they have this Be Nice, Say Hi campaign. So they're telling cyclists, when you approach a horse, you know, say hi, you know, we're behind you. And we're getting that a lot of horse riders actually saying, actually cyclists are announcing their presence behind them, but, you know, we're coming towards them as well. So again, it's just being aware of what is around you. So look over your shoulder, look ahead, think about that that junction that's coming up. Look at that car. Is there a dog going to be barking in the back of the car? Is somebody going to be opening the door? You know, and think about are there cycles behind you? And look at certain websites, so you know when there's cycling races that are happening, because they will announce them. And it's also in the preparation for cycle races, they have to consider and they brief about if they come across horses.
So we've had a sort of talk about this. What should people do then if the worst happens and you do have an incident out on the roads?
Well, first thing, if it's a close pass or a near miss, and nobody is injured, or it's just sort of taking you aback, then report it to the BHS Horse Accidents website, because those incidents are reported to us give a more realistic idea of what's happening out there, and those are the statistics that we can actually lobby Parliament. We can talk to the local authorities about what's happening. But only, and this is something, if nothing else, that your listeners take away from this, is if you have a near miss or an incident, please report it to the British Horse Society. Only 1 in 10 report it. But what's happening is the police are using our stats to actually run close pass operations. So they're actually having plainclothes police officers going out in areas where there's been a lot of near misses. That's been happening in Scotland, Greater Manchester, Gloucestershire, Devon and Cornwall, in the Met as well. So they've also were putting up signs as well, like the Think Bike signs, where there are hotspots. So it's really important. You let us know where the incidents are happening, then we can approach the local authority or the police and work with them. So definitely report it to the British Horse Society website. And, you know, if it is really serious, report it to the police.
One of the things I've seen recently is you guys have been going into schools and educating kids on sort of the things we've been talking about today. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay, that's our Henry the Horse project. So we realised that trying to get younger people involved in safety around horses. So it's all about how children should, if they see a horse on the road, walk past it, or if they're walking their dog, how they should walk past the horse, cycle past the horse, or if they're in the back of a car, the advice, and I know I use the word advice a bit loosely, but what they can say to the driver about a horse up ahead and as you pass. So it's really, it's our dead slow messages, but in a lot simpler language. So we're saying to children to slow down and to be quiet, but also, you know, pass them very, very quietly and get that message over there. So we've got 17 schools already that are interested, and it will grow. We're going to get it evaluated by ROSPA, so it's the Royal Society for Prevention of Accidents, and we're really hoping that is going to become, you know, quite a major thing to educate younger people.
So I suppose one day those kids will be the people behind the wheel of a car.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, the road safety world is really looking at the younger people that are coming. And talking about people behind cars, we're also going to schools to talk to sixth form students, people that have just started. We've got our virtual reality film that brings it to life, that you're on a horse and what happens when a car passes too fast or too close and the horse rears up, and then you see some real life footage, and then you're in a car with Lizzie Greenwood Hughes, who's a BBC sports presenter, and she takes you through a safe pass, and that actually brings it to life. So somebody who's never been on a horse before, they can see this virtual reality film and then experience what it's like when a car passes too fast or too close. But on the education side of things as well, we're going to educate transport companies. I've just come back from Morrison's, Somerset Passenger Solutions, that have the coaches, hundreds of coaches that take people into the new Hinckley Power Station. John Lewis, there's 6,000 drivers there. Expo Logistics, they've got 10,000 drivers. Warburton's, Stagecoach. So we're running lots of training sessions, and we must be doing something right, because they're inviting us back to do it again. And you know, putting us in touch with lots of other people. DHL are interested in our training. So again, it's all getting those dead slow messages out and giving some real life advice to drivers.
And of course, there are also resources on your website as well, aren't there, for people who, well, both riders and drivers who might want to find out a little bit more.
Yeah. Please come onto our website. And we've just launched this week as well our new Dead Slow film with Laura Thorogood, who tragically her horse was killed a few years ago, and she's talking about her experience with the Dead Slow message. So yes, and also you can get the 360 film there. You can put on your iPad.
So for those who want to go look, the website is bhs.org.uk. So thank you very much for talking to me about this, Alan. I think it's something that hopefully our listeners will have got quite a lot of information out of, and hopefully, you know, learned something from, and we will be seeing a whole load more safe horses and safe driving on the roads as well.
Well, that's absolutely right. So, you know, our aim, safer riders, safer drivers and safer horses. So that is the, I suppose, the strategic approach for our Dead Slow campaign.